My name is Elaine Ayers. I'm a staff member at the Oral History Program at UW-Madison, and today I'm interviewing Jim Bodie by telephone. It's August 14th, 2012. And Jim, for the record, can you spell your last name?
B-O-D-I.
Thank you. And can I get your date of birth, please?
1-16-37.
And what years were you at UW?
Winter in 55 and graduated in 61.
Yeah,
61. Okay. So I have time at the primary lab. Okay, I just feel comfortable sending this to you because it's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
If I lose this one, I'll really be in trouble.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about UW first before we start getting into specifics about the primate lab? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, how did you end up at UW? Can you talk a little bit about the path you took to get here?
I will tell you that in detail.
Okay.
I'll talk in paraphrase. I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, born in Cleveland. Encouraged to go into mechanical engineering. My teachers and organizations at the high school I was at, and then I won maybe ROTC scholarship. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Was that because you were a high-performing student? Is that why you won it?
Yeah, in fact, I did a test for Annapolis and did not make it, but Navy ROTC. That sent me to, I could pick from 52 colleges that were land-grant colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And my drawing teacher said I wouldn't send a pig to Purdue. So I just went to Wisconsin because he said so. And I'm glad I did. Anyway, I landed on the campus here. And I had to do this on part-time jobs because I didn't really have any money. And it turns out I didn't need any money, really, with the part-time jobs and eventually the primary lab. And meal jobs. And you can get by on meal jobs, a room, books, and $50 a month. But that's under a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much you were paying for rent?
$25 for a room.
And where were you living?
Huh?
Do you remember where you were living?
240 Langdon Street.
240 Langdon Street. Okay.
240. And it was a fraternity house, which I joined.
Hmm. Do you remember what fraternity that was?
Phi Kappa.
Phi Kappa, okay.
The building was torn down and rebuilt using burnable materials. In fact, we were wondering why it didn't burn down. I could sleep in that second floor and my sheets could be hanging out the window. And my then girlfriend, now wife, would walk down Langdon Street to class and she could tell if I was up or not. So she and her friends said, that place is going to burn down. No, I guess it did. Okay. You got questions?
Yeah, so you knew immediately coming here that you wanted to go into engineering, is that right?
That's right.
And do you remember any classes or teachers that sort of stand out in your memory?
Well, yes. During the course of the 4 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the first year, for me, the first year was a whole repeat of college.
Okay.
I mean high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was general chemistry here was already taken. So I didn't study very first semester because I didn't have to. Turns out I should have. But anyway, favorite professors besides Harry Harlow. I had kind of a funny passage through school somewhat of a stream that I graduated. If I had to pick one favorite teacher, it would be Archie Shamble.
Shamble?
Yeah, Shamble. Yeah, vehicle testing was the course. And I was pretty much a detonator with Navy courses, too. And then going down the Navy route, we had to go on a cruise the next year, 56. And that was great. 52 days at sea.
Wow.
Spain, Ireland, England, and Cuba. Stopped at each port, toured the area.
And you said that that was through the university?
That's through the U.S. Navy.
Okay. So you actually were in the U.S. Navy then?
Yeah, reserves, yeah.
And what years were you in the reserves?
Well, it was a five-year program, but
okay.
I was there after 3 years. I decided that this wasn't for me. And back then, if you just bought a wedding ring, you'd be kicked out. Well, I didn't buy a wedding ring. Then dropped out of school.
Why did you decide it wasn't for you?
Getting married or getting a ring or what? Oh, the six.
Yeah, the Navy.
Oh, so they were willing to give me $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing and books.
Okay.
I guess I could give scholarships elsewhere, but I did not apply.
So you joined the Navy Reserves mostly for the money?
Sure.
Okay. Were you involved in any other university organizations, committees, clubs?
No, I pretty much time split between fraternity and studying and going out on dates.
Okay.
All that rigorous stuff. I don't know if you know where 240 Langdon is.
Yeah, I do have a general impression of where that is. So you said that you met your wife while you were going here?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you met her and maybe what dating was like while you were here?
Sure, that's the most fun. I got a blind date with this girl, Judy.
It was a blind date.
Yeah. And I could hear in the background, oh, it's Jim. Oh, geez. So we went out together and finally we got pinned. And in those days you got, in this order, you got pinned, engaged, married, and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do all those things in any kind of order. And people do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all telling work. And anyway, fraternities are really time takers and sororities, I suppose. So, it did take up a lot of my time.
And was your wife in a sorority?
Yeah, Chi Omega.
Chi Omega, okay.
And she's in physical therapy.
Hmm. Okay.
Can you hear okay now?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Okay.
So I see from this outline that you sent that you noted that a standard glass of beer costs 10 cents on State Street.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about social life and maybe going out?
Well, if you belong to a fraternity, you went to the parties every Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And sororities had what they call them, speaking tours or speaking parties or something like that. And they had winter and spring proms and all those things. Things really swung around the Greek part of the thing. And after you were pledged and you became a regular and higher part of the fraternity. And I went to best thing in the world to do, I got in the beginning of my right up here.
Why don't we go back and talk about your family history a little bit? Can you tell me what your parents did and maybe where they were from?
My mother was from New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Camden, New Jersey, and housewife.
Okay.
And my father was a union leader, United Auto Workers, and he was responsible for selling the union to the workers, having them join and pay dues.
Okay.
And did a lot of labor-oriented things. I would help him handbill and stuff like that.
And where did you grow up?
I was born in Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
And moved to Toledo when I was in first grade. And I think I drove to high school. And stayed there until I graduated in 55.
And your parents encouraged you to come to UW?
Well, they just said you're going to go to college.
Okay.
My dad said I should be a machinist.
Mm-hmm.
And, because they make more money. I turned him down on that offer. But, you know, at the end, my student loan was $700.
Okay. Wow.
And, you know, this is the one thing I wonder about so much. Go all the way to school, have a small debt, and so college is less than $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
In-state tuition was $200 a semester, $90 per semester. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
And the other poverty thing, we would go home, in my case Toledo and others in Chicago, get on a train.
Mm-hmm.
And take the train out of LaSalle Street Station to go east. Some other station in the west would be either Chicago Northwestern or Milwaukee Road. And we go out of Chicago, and the train would stop at Lake Geneva. So we all jumped off the train and went to the liquor store. And, got back on the train and had a beer party. That was kind of fun. And the rich kids, they went on one of the 12 North Central Airlines airplanes. And they only had 12 planes. And that's where the rich kids went.
Mm. So you said that you were paying for school using student loans and just sort of working odd jobs. Your parents didn't help you out with that?
Oh, for a time there, I was getting $25 a month from them.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how this all happened. Tuition suddenly went to $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a glass of beer was $5, I think.
At least.
That seems impossible to me.
Mm-hmm.
But our cook at the steering house that went down to the pub tavern bought two of us a beer. I remember it clearly. It was 10 cents a glass.
10 cents a glass.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Memorial Union?
I did, you know, for eating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling. I wasn't real membership-oriented. I asked that question before, and I really didn't feel it. I guess I wasn't that kind of a joiner.
Okay.
So I had to work too much.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the jobs that you worked before you got to the primate lab?
Yes. Male jobs were kind of a natural.
Okay.
And either in sorority, dorms, even the fraternity house I belonged to. Had a male job at Brown's Cafe.
Okay.
You know where that is?
No, I don't.
You know where Rocky Rococo's is on Gilman?
Yes.
Okay. That was a restaurant.
Okay, okay.
A lot of restaurants for home cooking.
Hmm.
And I would work the evening, and I guess I'd get two meals for that.
Okay.
Then I I stayed in Madison during the summer once. Well, the first summer, because I went on the Navy cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in Madison summers, and I drove cab.
Oh, okay.
And I always worked. I can't think of where else. But the primary lab, I think I was there 2 or 3 years, most of it.
Do you remember what years those were?
My what?
Do you remember what years those were?
Oh, yeah. Got there in 55, graduated from high school in 55.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to fill in 6 years. Well, the summers were pretty much filled in with Navy ROTC.
Okay.
And in the winter, certainly meal jobs, restaurants. This place called the Toddle House on State Street, upper campus.
Hmm.
And I work there. Oh, this is kind of fun. This is real fun. When I worked at the primary lab,
mm-hmm.
I worked the lunch hour at Patty Ann's Cafe. And are you familiar with the street there in the region?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Blue Indigo or...
Yeah.
Okay. I would run over there at noon, and I would just work the half hour.
Oh.
These people were from Quality Laundry,
mm-hmm.
across the street. They would go over there for lunch. And I would call the orders in from, way in the front of the restaurant. I would yell their orders in. And I don't even think they had menus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back. Then, I get more jobs. One I liked real well was Madison Radio Shop.
Oh.
Just walk right down the Regent Street and cross the street. And, or not across the street from the restaurant, but turn left at the end of the, it's not Charter, but it's along the primary lab.
Mm-hmm.
And hop in there and do that meal job and go. Then, I'm trying to think how this worked. They hired a guy at the primary lab called Mowbray. He was a petty officer or officer. And he was going to bring changes to the primary lab.
Okay. Sorry, can you spell his last name for me?
I'm guessing, but Mobray.
Mobray, okay.
Yeah, we called him the Mowbrayer. And he walked in the radio shop and he saw me there and he said, well, what are you doing here? I guess he got mad at me about something. He said, what are you doing here? So I work here. Good, you get back to the primary lab. He said. So I did. And I'll just ramble on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I did go to the primary lab.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you if you had any impressions about how it had changed.
Yeah, it has changed. And I'm glad, I'm really glad I went.
Yeah.
The guy there, Chris or something like that.
Okay.
And a woman who was, by the way, working on the history project, too.
Mm, yeah, they are doing some work over there.
Well, and she took my card.
Mm-hmm.
Fully expected to call me.
You're in high demand, I guess.
Huh?
You're in high demand, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But they can't wait for you to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And record it.
So, do you have impressions of how it's changed?
Of what?
Of how the lab has changed since you were working there?
Yeah. My shop is gone.
Okay.
I work with Archibald, and the people there don't even know what these rooms were for.
Yeah.
Archmed and his race cars,
mm-hmm.
and sports cars, they were all fans of that. After work every day, we'd go to the Harmony House and drink beer. And we'd go to a Chinese restaurant around the square behind the Simon House and drink some more. then we'd go to races and all that stuff. So... The radio shop, I really did enjoy. enjoy it, because again, it's a mechanical thing, it's the sort of thing I would be interested in. And before we get done, I know I got to tell you about a couple projects I worked on. So,
okay.
So that would be interesting, but I can wait.
Before we get into your exact work at the primate lab, do you have anything else to say about your schooling here? Were you a good student?
Were I what?
Were you a good student?
I think pretty good for having to work 40 hours, 20 hours a week.
Okay.
Good and well-behaved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to how you got started at the primate lab.
Okay. Well, I went over there and got the job.
Mm-hmm.
How? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Somebody had, oh, Fred Sponholz. Does that name mean anything?
Yeah, I think he was the project supervisor at the lab.
He was the photographer.
Photographer, okay.
Yeah, he's the one that encouraged me to come over there.
How did you know him?
Fraternity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a member of the same fraternity.
Do you remember how old you were when you started working there?
Well, I would have been 18.
Okay.
20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Go 50 years back.
Right. So why don't you tell me what exactly you were doing at the primate lab?
Well, I'm glad I'm doing this project because I understand more of what I did was the right thing to do.
Right.
I forgot your question now.
Can you just tell me what you were working on at the primate lab?
Yeah. The primate lab has monkeys in it.
Mm-hmm.
Researching love.
Yep.
And they have a terry cloth covered mothers and wire covered monkeys.
Yeah.
And all I thought they were doing was seeing whether they could come to like the wire mother if they gave the monkey milk.
Right.
Well, I guess they did. They go over and they get milk and come right back to their cloth-covered mother. And I really did think that's all they were concerned about is could the monkey love that cloth mother?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the food or vice versa. I didn't really know, but what they were after, because those things are just like mass-produced.
Right.
And I've got to jot one down before I forget it. I got two projects here that I might expand on.
So you said that you weren't completely aware of what the experiments were trying to do at the time?
No, not really.
Who are you communicating with? Who is sort of giving you orders of what to work on?
Who are Schmidt, my boss.
Schmidt, you said? Can you spell that last name?
S-C-H-M-I-D-T.
Okay. And who, do you remember who designed I think they were called the surrogate mothers? Were you in charge of designing those, or were you just building them?
Well, the wire and the cloth ones were just mass-produced.
Okay.
Produced, but they were just made by a guy named Jess, I think.
Okay.
And he also made the cages.
Mm.
Which, the cages are different now. I didn't go see the cages yesterday. I didn't care if I did. And the cages were rabbit cloth, or welded steel.
Okay.
Throw the monkey in there, and turn the white noise. years on, we all thought they were crazy, the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they were or not. They throw things at kids. Scream at them.
Yeah, let's talk about what exactly you were doing with the equipment.
Okay. If somebody wanted to do some testing and get results on a wire versus cloth versus a little baby bottle,
mm-hmm.
probably just run that through their department and get one set it up, probably. But those that had some special need had a more exotic, automated, all that stuff, monkey. And they would go to ours and talk to him about it. I was pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would build it.
Okay.
I would go into the lab somewhere and use the test to test. And so the researchers provided the needs. I have no doubt about that. What else would it be but the researchers, I guess, when you look at it. They were doing a lot of brain work.
Right.
And they're doing a lot now, but not as invasive.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go yesterday to see if there was a monkey still strapped in a chair in the lobby of the primate lab, which was on the west end of the building.
Yep.
They put that monkey up in a chair, and they take two copper rods, stick them in the monkey's ears so he couldn't move, and they do surgery, which they still do.
Mm-hmm.
There they is, surgery right on the hallway, yes.
You actually saw that happening?
Yeah. I guess I did. I saw all of the surgery, and then they propped him up in a chair and leave him there for a week. And they were collecting brain waves with electrical probes. Now, somehow they go into the brain, and not quite as invasively.
Right.
And people, you know, kind of laughed at the monkey. And the animal rights people would be livid. In fact, I think they were at the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if there was any controversy over animal testing, if you were aware of that at the time.
I thought there was, and that one I just described to you.
Yeah.
But I wasn't necessarily in the room with him. I was in my shop.
Mm-hmm.
Shop. We'll get to what I built in the shop with three examples, which I think would be interesting. But the shop is in Jess, the two buildings on the south side of the big building. And Art had more of the technical shop, where we'd actually build the mothers that do things.
Mm-hmm.
The monkeys may or may not like, and take data. I don't know what they did. And then I would build something that used micro switches and platforms and relays and things like that that would make the thing operate. Perhaps when the monkeys sit on it, you just shake them off. Try to. So, and then I cited three ideas. Oh, I'm with the neatest one. Or I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you were aware of some sort of animal rights controversies over the primate experiments. Do you remember whether that was coming out in the press or if it was just something that was being talked about at the time? Yeah, you said that animal rights activists were livid about the brain surgery conducted on primates.
Yeah.
Do you remember whether that was being publicized in the press or if people were just sort of talking about it on campus? Can you explain a little bit more about what you meant by that?
I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I heard it through the grapevine and people in the lab. Our contact was, you know, sticking with the researcher.
Okay.
And our real practice wasn't in his plan at all.
Okay.
He was off doing something besides drinking.
So it sounds like he was pretty distant and you really didn't work with him closely at all.
Yeah, truth is, that's what it was.
Did other people at the lab talk about him?
I don't know. That's probably on too low a level to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would today.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that they were doing love experiments, and I've read a lot about these sort of terms that Harlow used, like love and, isolation, social isolation. Were these terms that were being thrown around, or is that something you've just learned about later?
They were research tests that they were developed in their classwork, I suppose, and in their work as higher degrees.
Mm-hmm.
They would get it developed, put in place, hire somebody to record the data, clean the cages, and just go like that. There wasn't anything in the newspaper that I knew of.
Okay.
I didn't read every paper either. But we talked about it somewhat, but there was nothing. There weren't any shootings or anything.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with other students or grad students in the lab? Do you remember any more people that you communicated with?
Well, those names I give you.
Yep.
Well, two generations back.
Mm-hmm.
That's 70 or 60 years ago.
Now, in this outline that you sent me, you put under testing equipment light cues for the Smithsonian. What do you mean by that?
Oh, it's a reminder for me, of course, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to forget it. There's something else, I just lost track of it, but we had researchers that were working on rejection by the mother.
Yep.
So they'd be rejecting mother. So I would build the cloth monkey, cherry cloth monkey. And I would build that. I'd take one, and I'd put welding rods inside. It's a brad, 8-inch round diameter of a brass rod. I'd mount those inside the monkey so that the rods could come out. So anyway, the baby monkey would be sitting up there nursing, and I built a timer out of film meter, and I cut holes in the timer, so on a random basis, cut holes in the tape, so that on a random basis, the micro switch would drop into the hole, and the thing was, the prongs would come out, and in some cases, the monkey would be violently, the circuit would be violently shaking, scaring the monkey off.
Mm-hmm.
And there were differences in that between between wire and cloth, and you know, you can put these things in all different places and see what you record.
Yeah.
And that was kind of interesting. In this latest write-up, I didn't put what I did after I left school, which I insist on telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the prongs. And then there was one where I had a motor on the bottom, and when it would drop into the holes on the tape randomly, it would shake. We call that the shaking mother.
Okay.
So anyway, poor thing would be up there nursing. And then every once in a while, it starts shaking like crazy. And let's see. My favorite one, though, however, was a monkey, a cloth monkey, cloth mother, with, I think there were 6 plastic diameter rods were mounted in that area. And the lights would go on, say a red light might mean turn off the green and the yellow and the blue or whatever when the monkey got, and don't, I don't know if it was a 6 or 3 actually. I have a feeling it was a 6 prongs, 6 prongs. And if he would command the do 1, 2, 3, he'd learn that. And he'd pull out 1, 2, and 3 and light the lights.
Mm.
Food pellet would drop down. And he'd get a food pellet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what it cost him to build that thing in the primary lab. It cost him to build, have me build it. But I went to Washington, went to the Air and Space Museum, went in there, and I'm walking along the hallway, and there's that monkey, same one, dead, stuffed, hanging by a post. And then, oh my God, I built that. But it wasn't, it was much more sophisticated than mine.
Oh.
It probably cost $1 million, and mine probably cost $100. But it was so eerie to suddenly see this thing up there, my gosh. You built that?
Wow.
Built the model. And then Abel and Baker were the monkeys, and they trained on, I think they trained on mine. And then they went up in the rocket ship. Well, this is the kind of a thing where I think, where I saw where the loading angle was drifting on into preparing for low-level rocket flight. And so that the first live animals that went up, the first live animal was a dog from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember the name. And then the ones with the first one won with no help. And so we had this light mother. Yeah, that's what went on the spaceship. So it was a rocket flight of low level, below the atmosphere, or below the gravity pool. And I was thrilled.
Wow. Do you happen to know where the funding came from to build the surrogate mothers and the other funding for the lab?
Well, you know, yesterday I walked by an office and somebody said they have to fill out a grant.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's, yeah, I did, you know. And I remember being on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
In our lab, we have so many switches, so many lights, so many relays, so much of this and that. And we had to use all of it so that it would be left in the budget for next year.
Oh, okay.
And so we did.
Mm-hmm.
Stocked it away. Arch dead, I can talk about it. And is that the other question? No.
Yeah, but you weren't aware of any specific grants that you were getting at the time?
No, I knew there was some.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where the money came from.
Okay.
Well, and then I was paid by the state, so I don't know if I'd even know it outside of just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't even know where the money came from.
Right.
Harry must have got a lot of it by his tours and speaking. Biographies, because he wasn't there much.
Right.
Well, and one thing I built for Harry was I got an ashtray. He smoked a lot.
Yeah, you built him a personal ashtray?
Yeah. Hey, what? I didn't hear you say.
You built him his own personal ashtray?
Yeah, I did, and I had to wonder about that years later.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to go find that. So I went down to the office down there, and in a little storage room, which is just behind Harlow's office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a warehouse, and he had all the stuff stored there, and something went over, not him, but the secretary went over to the shelf, took the ashtray out, and gave it to me to look at. I looked at it, and sure enough, I had forgotten, you know, what it looked like even.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 2 little ashtrays and a monkey in the middle.
Oh.
The whole thing was about 7 inches high. down there yesterday and I said, look, I've got three things I want to see. And if I see them, I'll know a lot. One is, where's the ashtray?
Mm-hmm.
What's my shop look like? And that's your shop. And is there a monkey in the lobby? And Helen, secretary.
Mm-hmm.
She took the ashtray. I learned that yesterday.
Oh.
So I'm never going to see that. The shop itself is very disappointing. I don't know who's building the stuff. There's just junk in there. Warehouse, shelves, monitors. Just everything was in there. And I don't know where to get the cages, but Jess's shop is not there either.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's produced off-site now.
Pretty tough. Soft?
Off-site.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, could be. Maybe it's in the building next door.
Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody's going to ask me what I do now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you were working on any other engineering projects while you were working at the lab. Or if that pretty much took up all of your time. And you were still in school while you were working there?
It was between semesters that I worked there also.
Okay. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what happened after you left the lab and after you graduated?
Well, graduated in mechanical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And was engaged, got married, and next is a baby. I went to work, however, for Oscar Mayer Foods.
Oh, okay.
As an industrial engineer, and I came away from there as a supervising industrial engineer. And I made $510 a month at Oscar's, and I was one of the higher paid engineers.
Okay.
And so I stayed there 8 years. I was area industrial engineer over four engineers, three engineers. And we did all the industrial engineering in the factory. And I left there after the 8 years. Went to Graber Company in Middletown.
Okay.
With them. You know where they are?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I was chief industrial engineer at Graber. And I left there in 7 years. They were in shock. People weren't being fired or let go like they are now. So I went to Graber. And did it for 7 years and pretty much ran the engineering show.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I worked for 35 years as a consultant all over the country.
Oh, okay.
I paid more than $510 a month. And I would do also work for lawyers as an expert witness. So, you know, and I got away from the deposition kind of work. And I, in the office, there were four of us in my company. And we did mostly projects. We did mostly statement processing.
Okay.
Mail, charge card statements, things like that. And we installed conveyor systems and equipment. So on, and pretty much modernized the mail industry.
Hmm.
Big Ben Franklin. Then I retired. Well, I thought of it. And pretty soon, professors come along and they think, I'd be glad to work for them for free.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I did. And I don't know if you care, but you work for Ben Vannevega.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me?
What kind of work do for him?
He's designing and building rat and mouse cages.
Oh, okay.
And that was a big aspect of the consulting work. That and the legal part, the lawyers.
Hmm. Now, does the consulting work, did you have to travel a lot for that?
Not too much.
Okay.
Lawyers would travel.
Okay.
The consulting work, I would basically go out with the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And learn the job, go back home, cost it out, collect the money, be there. So I didn't do a lot of traveling.
And how many children do you have now?
Three.
Oh, three.
Yeah. That was a question. Yeah, they're in good shape.
Mhm. What do they do, and what are their names?
Lynn Bodie.
Mhm.
Has a law firm.
Okay.
He's an owner of a law firm in town here. And that firm is the Adoptions of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And Bodie, Gapins, Earl, and Newton. So they do more legal work, trial work, and on the adoption side of it does that work. And then I have a daughter who's a jeweler.
Mm.
She does appraisals, sells jewelry.
What's her name?
Lisa.
Lisa, okay.
Lisa Bodie. They're all doing real good. Then I have a son, Paul,
mm-hmm.
who works in video productions.
Okay.
And he does a lot of campaign work and advertising. I mean, you've seen his stuff on TV without knowing it.
Mm.
And a lot of that. Yeah, he supplies all the equipment they have on the job site. Generators, cranes, lights, all that stuff. It's doing real well. So all the kids own their own business.
Okay, wow.
Took after their dad.
Now, just going back a little bit, I have a couple questions that I had wanted to ask earlier. Were you involved in the war efforts during World War II at all? Do you have any memories of that?
How old do you think I am? I was born in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
War started in 1941.
Right.
I was 4 years old.
Do you have any memories of your parents being involved, though?
Sure.
Hmm.
My dad came home from Europe in 1941, I believe.
Okay.
37, good evening, 1941. So he was 67 years old. And why are we talking about this? It was very interesting.
Hmm.
I remember rationing and all that stuff.
Oh, you do?
Sure. And then the next war was the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
Next war was the Vietnam War. Yes, the war where some of the fighting was done on our soil was one math researcher that was killed and blown up at Sterling Hall.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Well, I heard it at night, and that's all I know about it. I could hear it on the west side.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the student protests during the 60s and 70s?
The what?
The student protests on campus.
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of a funny joke. At home, we'd watch CBS out there with the camera. Zoomed in on somebody, and it looked like a mob.
Mm.
And that same day, I had gotten off someplace, or maybe went to the University Bookstore, walked out past St. Paul's. There were like 6, 7, 8 people, and they just made it look like a big crowd.
Mm.
But yeah, there were a lot of protests.
Oh.
My wife and I went down to the draft board in Toledo, Lucas County. Went in the draft board and, we want to get married. What do I do? And the woman at the draft board said, we don't hire engineers or school teachers. And last year draft engineers or school teachers. And last month we didn't draft anybody. And yet, unfairly, Madison was drafting a lot of people.
Right, right.
And I didn't have any part of that because I was in the right county.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. You got a lot of questions.
So do you have anything else that you wanted to get on record? I think we've pretty much covered all of my questions.
Yes, I missed the consulting business.
Okay.
And I got it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed, on that sheet you got there, I missed the actual research on devices, training devices.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there was more than three. I mean, I'm sure I did more than three jobs. I don't know. Can I email you if I think of something?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So if you don't have anything else that you want on record, we can wrap up here if that's okay with you. Would you like a copy of this interview? I can mail you a copy of the recording as well as a transcript and an index.
That'd be very nice.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. What are you going to do, splice it and tape it and all that?
Yeah, we'll put it on the computer and I'll transcribe it from there. And after that, we create an index, which is basically a summary that the public can look at to get a summary of what we talked about today.
Will this really be online?
Well, you'll have the record of it online, but people have to come into the archives to actually hear the interview.
Yeah. Oh, they don't take the tape home. Oh, you don't get it on the internet.
No, we're not doing that yet.
Okay.
But we'll have your name online and a record of sort of a summary of what we talked about so that people get an idea of what they're looking for if they want to come in and listen to the interview.
If they want to come in and do what?
If they want to come in and listen to the interview.
Uh-huh.
So they can see what we talked about online.
Sure.
And I can send you a link to where it's going to be online, too, so you can get an idea of what that looks like.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
And I won't be embarrassed?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting here stuttering and stammering, and what's next? Oh, that, yeah, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we got a lot of really good information.
I'm glad to hear that.
So if you think of anything else, why don't you go ahead and email me, and I'll also email you if I want some clarification on anything once I listen to this again and go through it.
Yeah, that would be great. I would do that.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, Jim. This was really great.
Okay, thanks, Elaine.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.